Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. And Lord, what it's going to be when we see you face to face. Jesus, we come in that full assurance of faith, believing you have given it, not of ourselves, but it's the gift of God. And I thank the Lord, it's all a gift. It's all the grace of God. And I thank God that grace is all grace. And I thank God it's for everything. And I thank God there isn't any other sufficiency but your grace. And Lord, let us get excited about your grace today. And God, it's not about how we feel or what we think or maybe what is even going on. Lord, you're seated at the right hand of God. You're our advocate, hallelujah. Lord, you're our confidant, hallelujah. And Lord, most importantly, you're my Savior. And Lord, I thank you for that. And oh, how completely you have saved me. Thank you, God, I've died with you. I've been raised. And I'm seated together in the heavens in Christ. And Lord, I thank you, Lord. And we're walking through that wonderful chamber. We're walking in front of the Godhead today. Hallelujah, I thank you. And Lord, pour out this wondrous truth. It's yours. Lord, thank you. It's by the foolishness of preaching. God, let us just be still. Let us not be anxious. Let us not be thinking of something else. God, I'll tell you what, we best just start redeeming the time or we're going to have it slip. And when it slips, it's going to be a problem. And in Jesus' name, Lord God, we're not going to let it slip. You're going to hold fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. And we believe you, we thank you, and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. I believe we need to wake up, including your pastor. And I am telling you that, you know, we just like to feel things in this life, and it's got to stop. And we need to look to the Word, and thank God we're standing on the rock that's higher than I. And I believe him. Hallelujah. Thank you for that grace, Lord God. We're going back to Song of Solomon chapter 7 today. We're in the finality of those precious encouragements God gave to us. He ministered to my heart on that trip. The three precious vital ways that a vine is stressed to produce the best wine. And what's the best wine we're talking about? Well, we find this so clearly stated in the Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon's not some mystery to those that know Paul's gospel. Song of Solomon is something that's in, I'll tell you what, it's 5D, 6D, 7D, whatever, 100-fold D, 3D is what I'm talking about. Man, you just see it in every dimension. And I thank God for that. But see, is this Shulamite has been courted by the Lord. And see, when Paul's gospel comes to your life, you best say one thing. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. You get in here and say, Lord, kiss me. Kiss me more. I loved hearing that sweet sister Debbie. She said the last thing about that sweet John Hill said to her. He said to her, he said, you know, if you want more truth, Jesus will chase you around. If you don't want that truth, he's not going to chase you around. And then he looked at her, and I'm sure with that beautiful little grin, he said, I want him to chase me around for eternity. Amen? Come on, this is a love story. And he wants it to be yours, because it is, but you got to wake up to it. Or it's just going to pass you by. It's just going to be something that you never came to know, and it's yours. Isn't that sad to come to the end of your life and think that, man, I never knew it. I just wasted my time. But you're going to need him to encourage you. You've got to have him to encourage you. And he wants you to know it. He said, he that wills to know will know this doctrine. He that wills to know. Jesus has put that in your heart. Call out to him, really. Even right now, say, Jesus, thank you for putting this into my heart. I want to know your doctrine. And he'll bring it to you. And he'll bring it to you like a flood. And then he'll bring you in little cups. And then you'll be out on a desert, but it's amazing how you'll have that river just follow you all the way along. It's beautiful. It's true, isn't it? Amen? And we know this, and thank you, God, for your faithfulness. But here, this Shulamite, she comes into that fellowship, and she says, I want you to kiss me. So he keeps kissing her. She wanted that word, and he's chasing her around. All throughout the Song of Solomon, he's chasing her. And sometimes she plays a little hard to get. He still chastens, but I'll tell you what, you know, he never going to force you. No, no, this isn't a force. This is a privilege. He's in love with you. You need to turn and just, he's holding you and embracing you so beautifully. Just in turn and love him back. Kiss him back. And she finally gets it as she comes through this wonderful encouragement of grace and mercy, his patience and long suffering. She finally listens to him as he just woos her. Honey, you're so ravishing to me. You're everything I've ever wanted because I made you. You're everything I've ever wanted because I gave you all of the provisions to grow up fully into everything I've ever wanted and everything I've ever desired. It's all about us. It's all about us. And here she finally says to him in Song of Solomon 7, verse 9, the triumph and the roof of my mouth like the best wine. For my Jesus. I want to have it. That goeth down sweetly, causing the lips of those that are asleep to speak. I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. I want him to stress me. I want this best wine. We started a couple weeks ago with the pruning. The pruning speaks of the willingness. There needs to be a willingness to suffer for Christ's sake. That willingness comes by falling in love, doesn't it? You begin to embrace it. As the Apostle Paul said, I glory in my infirmities. He was, in a sense, he was kind of like the Shulamite there when she was getting herself ready to come to the door. You know, she was going to fix something about herself, but there wasn't anything for her to fix. She's just beautiful to him. He loves that grace and mercy. That's all he wanted her to do is just come unto me. Isn't that something? Isn't that how beautiful Jesus is? He didn't say something first. He said, come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden and in need and whatever it is. He didn't tell you to do something first. He just said, come. And it's come boldly to the throne of grace. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? He just wants us. He pants after us. And he wants us to pant after him. And that was the second stressing. Is we saw that vine is stressed not just through pruning and pruning all the time. It's also stressed with the limiting of the water. And what we saw that was speaking of to us was that cup of salvation. His lips. Do we pant after him like that deer pants for the water? Oh, yes, praise God. But finally, today we come to the last one, which is the crowding of the vines. And this might be my favorite because this entails you and me together. The crowding of the vines, tightly fit, compacted vines. I love that. Maybe again. What's even going on today a little bit more? See, there's no other way to be in that bride without the crowding and the compacting and the knitting together of his love. Turn on over to Ephesians chapter 4 and let's read of this. In Ephesians chapter 4, this high watermark of the Word of God as it begins to conclude in a way and to encourage in the finishing of the work of the bride is that love. And it says there in Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love. See, that's what goes on here. That's what Paul's gospel is. It's truth in love. It's not just truth, and it's not just love. It's truth in love. Isn't that beautiful? And take that to the heights of way that the truth is in love with you. And that you fall in love with the truth. That's the truth that's in love. Praise God. He's the Word. The Word's in me. Let the truth be in love. Amen? And that's what this is. But speaking truth in love, what happens? we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now get this. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working, in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Amen. It's magnificent, honey. It is so marvelous. Listen to that. You see what that compacting does? You see what that tightly fit does? It brings that edifying, that spiritual encouragement. The necessity, if we want to grow up into him in all things, if we truly want to have that completeness of that growth, that fullness and stature and measure of him, what happens is every joint supplying in that compacted body. And see, we're talking about that glorious body here. Know this, brothers and sisters. This is the rib portion body. This is what this is bringing forth is. This is the bridal body. And what happens here is in that measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Yes. See, without that, it's never going to happen. See, some Christians, they'll embrace pruning. They'll love the word of God. But so sadly, so few will ever enter into the crowding. The crowding. Oh, yeah. Tightly fit, compacted crowding. Diamonds cutting diamonds crowding. Huh? Oh, come on now. This is what this is. See, and here's this thing about a natural vine. These vines that produce the best grapes for the best wines, the most magnificent that man knows that they just want and desire so much to drink and pay thousands of dollars for. Without vines being crowded together, the roots of the plants will never go deep. It is true. Without those vines, those plants being crowded together, the roots don't go deep. The roots, if they were out there by themselves, they stay on the surface. And I'm going to ask you something here. You ever meet a surface Christian? Oh, they look big. They look so upright. But what happens is the trial comes. The storm moves in. And it rips them right out of here. Oh, yes. It rips them. And I'm not talking about a place. I'm talking about the truth. I'm talking about the love of the truth. And I'll tell you what. Storms come and they're brutal. And that root better go way down. Way, way down. And I'll tell you what. I'm thankful I'm near you. I'll tell you that. I'm thankful we're tightly fit and compacted. Because you know what? Storms have come. And I'm thankful to God I'm still here with you. Amen. Yeah? Amen, James?
Yes, sir.
Praise God. She is a rib portion, this bride. Did you hear that? She's a rib portion. She's not a loner in the rib. She is altogether lovely in Christ in that rib. Altogether lovely. And see those vines that have the best grapes that make the best wines. There's not just one vine in the vineyard. Everybody ever went out to see a vineyard? Did you see one vine? You saw a lot of vines. And they're tightly fit and compacted together. Oh, yes, they are. And we know that there's many. See, without the other vines, the best vineyard, even it wouldn't be. And brothers and sisters, the bride is a company of believers. And this company of believers dwells together. And it's the truth. And that word dwell in the word of God, it means to settle down in marriage. We settle down in this truth. Are you settled down in the truth? Or are you still looking to settle down somewhere else? Or in something else? Amen. I could go on in a lot of ways in that. God, just stop me. I'm going to stop. Brothers and sisters, it takes all the joints of the full-grown bridal body to have that edifying of the increase in love. It has to be. There's no other way it's going to come. The Word of God says that we gather ourselves the much the more. We assemble together the much the more as we see that day approaching. See, we're looking for that day, aren't we? By the grace of God, do you love the appearing of that day, the appearing of the bridegroom? Well, praise God, then. See, he's not that bridal body's not just a head, it's a body too. And praise the Lord, and I thank you, Jesus, that that bridal one has fallen in love with the head and the body. They love one another. They dwell together. They want to hear this word together. They want to come and worship together. Without divine love and deep appreciation and yearning for the saints, you'll never have this best wine in you. Do you know how you long for your loved ones to know, and not just know, but love the truth? They don't understand about this kiss, do they? They think you're crazy. They don't understand what you're talking about when you're talking about the kiss of the beloved bridegroom and that kiss that the bride is going to bring to him someday. And that kiss awakes those that are asleep. See, we just had a wonderful memorial service yesterday. And Brother John, praise be to God. Hallelujah. He's present with the Lord. But there's also an expression of that in the Word of God. He's asleep in Christ. He's awaiting. He's awaiting a trumpet blast. Praise be to God. And hallelujah, it's going to be that kiss. That kiss. And it's going to awaken all those things. And but see, without being amongst those that love that truth and want to hear that truth, that edifying itself and increasing in love, it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. I know ones that know this truth, and I pray they're listening today, and I'm not being judgmental at all. I'm just telling you the Word of God. But what happens is the increase of love doesn't happen anymore. Because the Word of God is true. The Word of God is true. You can go set your sail and think that you're going to get it another way. It ain't going to happen. It will not happen. His Word is true. And your feelings will always lie to you. And you can think about and say, well, I don't like this about that. I don't like this about Pastor Jesse. I don't like the way he does this. You know what? That, you know what? By the grace of God, pray. But you know, that's probably a good thing for you. Because you know one thing? I'll preach the truth by the grace of God. I tell you about the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I know the anointing of the Lord is here because of Him. And it doesn't matter what I think or you think. It's what the Word of the God, Word of God says. And I'll tell you, by the grace of God, in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost, I know He's after us. And here we want to wrestle and say, well, I want it this way and I want it that way. Well, you could be just as stupid as that guy that said, hey, get me the prophet to get out here to tell me and to lay his hands on me or whatever for me to be healed. And so the prophet, he sent his servant. Because that's what God told him to do. The servant showed at the door and that guy said, well, wait a second. I don't want you. I want that prophet to get in here and tell me what to do. Well, that guy's servant, his own servant, said to him, wait a second. If this is the word of the Lord and how you're going to be healed, I think you should listen. But see, you're always thinking you're going to get your package and what you want. And I can tell you right now, it ain't going to be that way. Do you understand that? Brothers and sisters, by the grace of God, I'd rather be sitting out there any day. And that's the truth. But I know this is where God has set me. And I'll tell you what, I want what He wants. I want to be where He wants me to be. I found that wrestling against God is just going to throw my hip out of joint. But He's still faithful. You may know of the wine, and you may know how it's produced, but when you refuse to be compacted and tightly fit with the bridal body, you've removed yourself from it. You have. You have. You've chosen not to be part of that best vineyard. Giving you a type, a metaphor here. Because this is the truth. The sad part is ones that I've spoken to. And I thank God it's Christ in me in love to explain this. That wanted to argue about it. It finally comes down to the point, and I mean that. Well, I guess you're right, and I just need to pray about it. Well, I'd like to go back and say, well, thank God for the conviction. But how about just come forth and say, Lord, I was wrong, and I'm sorry. Get off on so many different things in this sermon, but don't ever live a life where you never say you're sorry. Don't say things that you know would hurt and destroy people and then just walk away. I don't care if they're true or not. Most time they're not. Don't do that. That's not love. Love gets in there. Love wants to work. You understand that? And love will work if you let it work. The divine bridal love grows from supplying through the joints of the body. You can't increase without compacting. We just read that in Ephesians. It maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You see that? You can't just go camping out on your own and say, I'm going to win Christ when you can gather. It don't work. Because there's no love. Do you notice how that started out as we read? Speaking truth in love. That's a life. That's a way of life. It's not a knowledge in the head. It's a knowledge of love. It's an intimacy. It's a consummated thing. Yes, it is. And it's true. Are we in love with the body of Christ? I pray we are, because you're not in love with the head if you're not. See, just as Paul told those Thessalonians, he said, you have great faith and you know the truth. But he said, let your love increase and abound more and more one toward another. Did you hear that? You have great faith, you know the truth, but increase in that love. Oh, yes. It's vital. If we're ever to possess the kiss of the Shulamite to the bridegroom, what we started out with, what we've been reading through on the first verse of the last 3 weeks, if we're ever going to have that kiss, you best be kissing your brethren right now with that kiss, or you'll never have it for the bridegroom. You will never have it. Now, I praise the Lord because that kiss by His grace is in this place. Amen. The more we gather, the deeper the roots go. And that's the truth. Because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And that is the finishing miracle of the best wines. Get this. Not only do they grow deep to preserve themselves against a storm. But they go deep to get the deep hidden things called the deep hidden minerals. Those best wines get flavors and things that you almost can't even describe about a best wine from so many different things, but that finishing is because that root goes down and receives those deep hidden minerals. Now think of, as our roots go down and down by the Holy Ghost, and yea, the deep things of Christ and those deep hidden minerals, the gold, silver, and the precious stone that we receive. Amen. I want you to think about this. What about the furtherance of the depth of the gospel that's going on in this place? My boast is in Christ and Christ in my brethren. I'm talking about the light upon light and the things which we are being revealed in depth that has never been touched on before. If you'll listen, it's not new truth. The truth's been spoken. I understand that. But it's the depth and the light upon light and the things that the Lord continues to bring out to us. It's because the roots are going down deeper and deeper and deeper. And those that have ceased to gather, that know of the truth, there's no more depth. There's no more. It stopped. It's because of love increasing. Love has got to increase or love fades away. It is true, isn't it? Love has got to increase or it fades away. And it's true. And I'm sad for ones that love has faded. And dwelling together is a marriage. And it's in His faithfulness. He makes it real to you when you're in it. And He's readying those that are willing to enter into it and continue to enter. It's like even a natural marriage. When a marriage grows in love, you grow deeper in understanding and knowing one another and appreciation. It's a truth. But when marriages don't grow in that, what happens is usually people start spending time apart and they get occupied with other things and they don't foster being compacted and knit together. I always remember when my dad told me before I got married to Polly, he said, "She's your best friend. You don't have any more guys' nights out. There's no more ladies' nights out. Every night out is with her." Now, I know people don't like to hear that. That might not be your thing. But I'm telling you, by the grace of God, we need to really draw in to Him. And see, without that, you don't grow together. When you keep spending time away, you're not fostering what needs to be fostered. And what happens, though, when that love really grows, it's really amazing. And those roots, they go way, way down. You know what God's going to bring? He's going to bring greater storms. But you know what? It's okay. Because we're grounded. You're grounded. I think about a pretty major storm in this meeting some many years ago. It came, didn't it? Oh, people said, "Oh, it was a nuclear storm." He He can stand up against nuclear storms. And by the grace of God, by the grace of God, roots that were planted deep, we're still here. Not standing up and shine me or shine you. It's love. Love did it. Amen? Isn't that what does it? Let's wrap it up. I pray by the grace of God we grow more thankful for one another every day. I thank the Lord that I know in this place I'm loved. And I mean that. I thank God for you. We love one another. I thank the Lord in me. I highly esteem you. You're so valuable to God. Every life here is so valuable to God. You might even be here the first time, a couple times. Your life is so valuable to Him. And I want that value to me. You're the elect of God. Think of that. And the necessity that we are to one another. Without one another, we wouldn't be complete in Him. I'll say it like this. Jesus didn't have to have them disciples, but He had to. He didn't have to have a bride. He's God. But He had to. Think about this. I just want you to understand. He's God. He could do what He wanted to do. But that's what He wanted to do. And I'm glad that He wanted to do that. I'm glad about my life for Him. And you can think that you don't need your brethren. But you do. Oh, yes, you do. And that precious message, which is God's Word, has never changed in this place. Ever. And I'm thankful for that faith that we've been given. And always remember this. That faith worketh by love. It works no other way. You can have faith. And you can have bridal faith to move mountains. You can have bridal faith to give. You can have bridal faith for all these things. But if your bridal faith doesn't have love, it's profited you nothing. Do you really understand that, sweet ones? I pray we do. God's protected us. The bride is finished no other way. There's never going to be ever any edifying from you for the increase of love if it's not God's way. If it's not embraced. If it's not said, thank you, Lord. I want your way. I want your love. I want your life grown fully up in me. I want to cease of my working. And I want to enter into that. It's almost time. I was looking at those here yesterday and haven't seen some for a long time. That same precious message is as much theirs as it is mine and as much mine as it is theirs. But what you going to do with it? What is it to you? Is it your crown? Is it everything? I know I'm His everything. And I want to be that everything for Him. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Lord, we do just praise you for your word. And Lord, it's you that encourages every heart, every life that's here today and has heard this morning. Let us move in now. Let us move in now. Lord, that altar is sitting right in front of us. It's our own lives. Let it be a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to our God. Lord, thank you for this time that we've had with you. And Lord, we know that the word of God does not return void unto you. Thank you again for your faithfulness and your faithful word. In Jesus' name, amen.